What's on your mind, Australia? Give us a call and tell us all about it. 1-300-564-652 and tell us. Simple as that. 1-300-564-652. Or if you'd like to send a text message, 0458-049-209. And you can do that whenever you like and help us keep the dream alive. Apparently, the average man spends 5 years of his life being bored. Really? 5 years? A long time. Thursday morning, March 14, and PwC Australia will slash 329 staff and up to 37 partners from the firm as part of a major restructure following the tax advice scandal. There have been talk that as many as 430 staff are losing their jobs, but as part of this managerial shake-up, 366 jobs are going to be cut in a rolling process over the coming 9 months. The bus driver charged with causing the deaths of 10 people in the Hunter Valley bus crash has spoken now for the first time through a prepared statement. It's read by the man's lawyer, the statement. 59-year-old Brett Button will return to court next month. His statement reads in part, "There is not an hour that goes by that I am not thinking of the families that have been affected by the crash. Truly, for anybody involved, including the emergency services, I am devastated by what has occurred and I am truly deeply sorry." Well, you'd have to believe him, wouldn't you? The New South Wales Police Commissioner Karen Webb has sacked her chief communications advisor, Liz Deegan, in what seems to be an act of utter desperation, doesn't it? It wouldn't matter who was providing advice to the commissioner. Her media performances have not improved, not improved at all. And even if Karen Webb has been advised to say nothing in the aftermath of a police allegedly murdering two men that was on her ignore the advice card, I don't know, clearly she needed to be on the front foot, didn't she? So did the minister, that Yasmin Catley, and yet they went to ground. And they went to ground for several days. Commissioner Webb now seems to think that discarding Ms. Deegan will somehow improve the media relations. Well, I've got to tell her and you that that's delusional. There are growing signs that China will curtail the prohibitive tariffs imposed on Australian wine exports to the country. Shares in Treasury wines have surged on the back of the news, with the prospect of thawing in the trade relations between Australia and China. New South Wales prisons boss Kevin Corcoran has been sacked by his department boss 4 months after he was told to go on leave, following his evidence to an inquiry that prison guard rapist Wayne Astle. It was going to end this way, with Corcoran having been in a state of purgatory after he went on indefinite leave. Now, I can tell you he won't be returning to his former role as New South Wales Corrective Services Commissioner. That's not on. US President Joe Biden is shuffling towards the November presidential election, having secured the Democratic nomination. And that has prompted Donald Trump to quip that his rival might die before polling day. Not kind. The rematch of 4 years ago is said to be a very nasty, I would think a very, very ugly spectacle. Kensington Palace is now in full damage control after the Princess of Wales apologised for photoshopping the family photo that was released for Mother's Day in the United Kingdom. The story has unravelled at a rate of knots, with the American news giant CNN now reviewing the status of previous photos released by William and Kate. It's the first time the couple have been at the centre of such a media storm, and now they surely understand what it's like to be Harry and Meghan, huh? The toll review in New South Wales has raised the prospect of adding tolls in both directions to both the Sydney Harbour Bridge and the tunnel. You know, it's a funny old review that finds a partial solution to Sydney's tolling system is to whack another toll onto the existing thoroughfares. I think that's very unusual. In sport, in the NRL, round two gets underway tonight with Brisbane at home to South. Both sides lost their respective season opener in Las Vegas, and they'll be eager to pick up competition points tonight. We'll have a look at the tips as we go through the morning. In the AFL, round one gets underway tonight as opposed to last week's opening round. It's still rather confusing, but tonight is a round one, and Carlton plays Richmond at the MCG. And Western Australia will host Sheffield Shield cricket final against Tassie, with Western Australia... Western Australia beat Victoria, and Tasmania suffered a pretty bad loss to South Australia. Anyway, we'll talk about that as we go through the morning, but I'd like to know what's on your mind. And to tell us, all you've got to do is pick up the telephone, dial the number 1-300-564-652. Okay, tell me what's on your mind. 1-300-564-652 is the telephone number you dial. Robert, are you there?
Yes, good morning, John.
Good day, Robert. What can I do for you?
I'd like to ask you, when you're talking to Luke next time, could you ask him how many Ks he's got up on his car? He seems to pop up everywhere around Australia.
Yes, well, he does, doesn't he? Seems to do a lot of travelling. I don't. I'm not that interested, I've got to say, Robert.
No, but he must have a very reliable car.
And he must have plenty of money to afford all that petrol.
That's correct, yes.
Petrol isn't cheap, as we know.
No. But people complain about the petrol prices, but you can pay up to $5 for a 600ml bottle of water in some places.
Yeah, well, don't. I never touch the stuff.
What, the water?
Yeah.
Okay, John, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right, Robert, thank you very much for the call. Well, a desperate rescue effort in a collapsed mine in Victoria turned into a recovery effort earlier this morning after a trapped miner died. Oh, dear. At least 27 workers managed to escape without injury after making it to a safety pod when the Mount Clear gold mine near Ballarat collapsed just before 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon. As the larger group made it to safety, falling rocks pinned down two men hundreds of metres under the ground. They're stuck. Crews successfully freed one of the workers, 21-year-old man from Ballarat, airlifted to hospital with life-threatening injuries to his lower body. Poor man. Imagine all that falling on you. Rescue authorities have managed to free the 27 people from the safety pod. That wasn't until about 10:30 last night, more than 5 hours after they became trapped. Imagine being trapped down there for 5 hours. Crews then turned their attention to the other man who was pinned under a rock 500 metres underground, 3 kilometres from the entrance, 3 kilometres. An Australian Workers' Union Victoria State Secretary, Ronnie Hayden, confirmed earlier this morning that the man had died. Victoria Police Acting Inspector Lisa McDougall said last night it was unclear what caused the mine to collapse, but it'll be the subject, obviously, of an investigation by workplace officers who are on the scene now. Ms. McDougall said overnight police had spoken with families of the trapped men who were apparently extremely distressed and very, very concerned, as you imagine they would be. Sadly, one of those families has received one of the worst phone calls of their lives when crews realised that their loved one wouldn't be making it out alive, and that's the way it was. A tragic story. One man dead, another 21-year-old man with life-threatening injuries. It's a tragedy. We'll certainly keep an eye on that. Okay, tell me what's on your mind. All you've got to do is pick up the telephone and dial the number and tell us all about it. Oh, dear. Ralph, are you there?
Yes, good morning, John. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Ralph, what's it today?
Well, today I'd like to respond to my wonderful heckler from last Tuesday, and then I'd like to talk about how to help the police fight crime.
Well, I think we'll go to the latter rather than the former. Tell me how to help police fight crime.
All right. If we go to the latter before the former, can we make a deal that I still get to forgive my heckler from Tuesday?
Well, no. Anyway, let's get on with it. What do you want to talk about, Ralph?
All right, then. So, what's a really good idea for the police, how they can fight crime, is that the police should be allowed to wear their uniform when they go out on their soapbox and preach the gospel with their Bible. And what they can preach is all murderers shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire, and all thieves shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire.
Oh, yes. Look, Ralph, you really do overdo this fire and brimstone garbage you go on with, and it is garbage.
Well, that's what Satan would say. Satan would call it garbage, but it's real.
Well, maybe I'm Satan. Maybe I'm Satan, but I'm telling you that what you speak is garbage.
Well, maybe there are demons that are using you and speaking through you. That is quite possible. Yeah, I don't deny that. I fully agree with you there, John.
I see. So there are demons telling me what to say.
Oh, easily.
Okay, hang on. Whoa, hold the phone. Could you tell me who the demons are?
Yeah, mocking spirits.
What?
That's mocking spirits. Spirits that mock and ridicule. Like, what about yesterday when you were snickering at the idea of burning the pages of the Bible for cigarettes? You were just snickering away. That's a mocking spirit coming out through you on the radio.
Yeah, they were text messages I was getting. I wasn't saying that. They were text messages.
Yeah, you were snickering at the idea. You weren't turning around going, hang on, that's really bad, you know. Nobody should be burning the pages of the Bible.
Well, they shouldn't. I mean, nobody should be burning the pages of anything.
Yeah, now you've swapped over, but that's also what...
I haven't swapped over. I'm just telling you that nobody should burn the pages of anything. That's what Hitler tried to do. That didn't work, did it?
Yeah, but what we're all seeing now on the radio is a spirit of confusion, because that's the one that's manifesting now. It comes out and it turns things around and changes
yeah,
the whole...
But Ralph...
To gaslight people.
Yeah, well, Ralph, they were text messages. They were supposed to be jokes.
Yeah, I know. It's not a funny joke. That's the thing. And Satan would laugh at
it. Okay, well, you didn't think it was funny. Other people may have thought it was funny.
Well, demons think it's funny. They're the ones that are mocking.
Anyway, Ralph, this is, as usual, getting very boring. What is the real reason for your telephone call?
Two really good reasons. I'd like to respond to my wonderful heckler from Tuesday and to talk about how the police should be able to wear their uniform on their soapbox when they preach the gospel, because that will help fight crime. And here's the thing, John. My heckler from Tuesday was you.
I see. Was I? I was a heckler on Tuesday, was I?
Yeah, you were saying that I was a nut and that I was stupid.
I didn't say you were stupid. I probably said you were a nut, but I didn't say you were stupid.
Yeah, you said I was stupid, and that's another lying spirit coming out of the radio, coming out of you right now, lying spirit, right before everybody that remembers.
Oh, God, enough of this crap, Ralph, really. Really,
no,
and enough of this absolute nonsense. I mean, absolute nonsense, no other word for it.
That's what Satan would say, that's what demons would say.
Okay, well, maybe I'm Satan.
Well, you're not Satan, but Satan's using you and he's working through you. There are demonic spirits working through you all the time, and people can see it, and people hear
really?
It all the time.
Really? People can see it? You're the only person who's ever suggested anything resembling that.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. Maybe I'm the first one with the guts and the love of God, to ring up.
Maybe you're the first one who's stupid enough to bring it up.
Well, Satan would say that. That's, of course, what he would say.
Satan? And, yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, I've got my Satan uniform on, apparently, according to you.
Yeah, and God healed you of that croaky voice that you had, and you managed through to the end of the day, and here you are speaking again.
Yep.
Because that's the love of God, that he's healed you.
I see. So it's Satan who made my throat better.
No, the love of God. See, now let's not confuse people and make it out that it was Satan that healed you.
Ralph, I think we've already confused them.
See,
I think we've already confused them.
Spirit. and that's a gaslighting spirit, yeah, coming out right now.
Yeah, well, Benny has just sent a text message to me. Shut up, Ralph. If Lawsy is Satan, then hell ain't a bad place to be.
Well, John, you are not Satan, and that is the confusion that you're trying to put through the radio right now. You demonic spirit, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. You shut up in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to hear from John Laws. I don't want to hear from demonic spirits. I want to hear from John Laws.
Okay, well, you're hearing from him now, and he's about to say goodbye. Okay, tell me what's on your mind. 1-300-564-652. Well, we've again been given an insight into the frivolous spending of politicians. It's never ending. With revelations now that taxpayers spent more than 12, are you listening? Taxpayers spent more than $12 million on printing fees in 6 months. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? The problem is so deeply entrenched that there's not a chance anything will come back or nothing will be done to fix it, because politicians from every corner of federal parliament are involved. Every corner. I spoke earlier in the week about the Greens leader Adam Bandt's spending, which included $200,000 on printing alone in 2022. Now, according to a Telegraph analysis of spending disclosures, the equally as climate-driven Teals, they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on printing as well. In the 6 months between July and December 2022, members of North Sydney Kylie Tink. Yes. They spent $87,000 on printing and communications, including one single transaction of $53,000. Jesus. The Teals member for Wentworth, Allegra Spender, lived up to her name with a printing bill in the same period of $54,000. Why should we be paying for that? And member for McKellar, Sophie Scamps, spent $54,000 on printing and distributing materials around her electorate on Sydney's northern beaches. A common factor will be that three of these electorates, North Sydney being one, Wentworth being another, and McKellar being the third, if they're all metropolitan, where people really have high levels of digital literacy, I mean, is that the case? It could be arguing printing and posting material is important in the regions. Sure, it could be there where people are not connected to an online world, but I can't understand why a simple email wouldn't suffice for people living in places like Double Bay or Kirribilli or Manly. You know, for a group of independents who pride themselves on their action for the climate, it's extraordinary that they can see that they can't even see the irony in spending nearly $200,000 on printing flyers, many of which don't survive the trip from the letterbox to the house. They get thrown out. People screw them up and throw them out. But the problem will stick around for as long as we've got the current mob in Canberra, because the biggest spenders on printing were from the Liberal and the Labor parties. They're the biggest spenders of the lot. Victorian Liberal Jason Wood spent... Are you listening? This fellow Jason Wood... Morning, Mr. Wood, spent $214,000 on printing, while Labor's Peter Carlyle is representing a Victorian electorate. He spent $191,000. Can you believe it? $191,000 and $214,000. And Di Lee, the independent member of Fowler, spent $147,000 on printing. Now, some might be able to excuse her bill. She was responsible for commenting Christina Keneally's visit to federal parliament. We've got to remember that. She was the one who cemented that Christine Keneally exit from federal parliament, and we've got to keep that in mind. But all jokes aside, none of these passed the pub test. Our federal politicians spent $12 million on printing fees in just 6 months. Hard to believe. It's political advertising in disguise, isn't it? Each flyer does little more than tell constituents about how amazing their local members are. They're just a list of alleged achievements. If that's not an ad, I don't know what the hell is. All right, tell me what is on your mind. Incidentally, we're talking about Allegra Spender. I got a birthday card last year from Allegra Spender on my milestone birthday. I don't even know her. And I was very surprised. It seems like a funny thing to do. But it was a very nice thing to do, and I appreciate it. But I remember it. Okay, tell me what's on your mind. Pick up the telephone, dial the number, 1-300-564-652. John, you was Ralph's heckler from Tuesday, and I can be his Thursday heckler. Ralph, you're stupid. You're a nut. I don't know what that's all about. Ralph, I'll say you are stupid. I'm not ashamed to say it either. That's from Hannah. So Ralph the caller this morning. Hey, John, it's a pity Ralph couldn't say a prayer for the workers who lost their lives and their families. Love the program. Signed, Mick. Yes, that's not a bad thought, Mick. Okay, a couple of texts here. John, if you're going to hell, I'm joining you. Great music, great restaurants, great grog. Forgive me. Forgive me, God and Luke. Mark on the Gold Coast, you're a character, Mark. All right, tell me what's on your mind. 1-300-564-652 is that telephone number. Who's there? Robert, are you there?
Yeah, g'day, John. Hi, how are you?
Pretty good, Robert. What can I do for you?
First time caller, a bit nervous. I was just wanted to put it out there that for the youth crime and that a solution could be if the government put their thoughts to it, to tack on a fee on all the rates, like, say, $20 a quarter, $25 a quarter. That'd be $100 a year for every household to go into a special quick response group that they could hire of a night time, because every time you ring the police, or the police are always busy, there's not much they can do about it. But if we had a special unit that could be quick response, people wouldn't be feeling so alone out there. If there was a number people could ring, knowing people are on the way to help them. It'd be like a security team, either add some extra onto your electricity bill, like I think they do in Queensland for the ambulance. I think every house is covered because there is an extra fee on the electricity bill.
Okay, but obvious that you've got some sort of complaint. What's the complaint you've got?
Oh, no. Well, I've just by watching TV, it's all out of control with the teenagers. But it'd be good to have a phone number to ring and get a security team, at least someone, to your place.
It's not just, well, that would be a good thing were it possible. I don't know how you would have to, you'd wind up with a bunch of vigilantes. I don't know that that's a good idea.
I was thinking professional security, not Homeland. It's just professionals. Hire a team, a government special team for teenagers, because that's the way we're going now. It's just getting worse and worse. There are so many people in fear out there, and it's just like no one's doing anything about it. They get bailed, they go out on bail, they do it again and again. It's just
Well, you can't blame the police for that. You can blame the magistrates for that.
They've always got their hands tied. They're always overworked, so they need another. For, like, you've got speed cameras. They're not police, but they're out there with their mobile speed cameras booking people. So the security team I'm talking about is nothing to do with the police. It's to follow the 15-year-olds around, and if they have to watch what they're doing.
Yeah, okay, but they've got to be police. You can't have vigilantes doing that job. They've got to be trained police to be following people around.
Yeah, no, like security team, like you've got the security out there. It's just another version of what security's out there now, except it's more...
But there's privately run security firms.
Yeah, they do. They're hired to do their rounds and do what they do. But if you've got a private security team that is out there just to drive around the streets to make sure there's no groups of 15-year-olds breaking into normal houses where the other security don't patrol.
But police do that already.
They're usually too busy, tied up. They do a lot of domestic work. I understand they get tied up pretty much with what their job is at the moment. I'm only putting it out there. That's one solution. Look, if the government thought about it hard enough, they might be able to come up with something. Mine's only the raw material. It's food for thought for everybody. You see on the news just how bad it's getting, and it's just going to get worse.
Well, it'll only get worse if we allow it to get worse. The police do an amazing job. They're underpaid, they're understaffed, and they're overworked, and they really are, but they do a hell of a good... Where do you live?
I live in northern New South Wales.
Okay, is there a lot of crime in your area?
Not too bad. Not like you see in other towns like Dubbo, like Alice Springs and all that. It's nothing like that. But you still have these groups. In our day, it would be water bombing at the very worst. Now it's throwing rocks at cars and all kinds of bad things happen now that never used to happen.
Okay, but well, tell me, what area are you in?
I'm in the Northern Rivers.
I see. Well, we're hearing a bit about that, and we've heard a bit about it lately. I don't know what you do. I know that youth crime in all those areas is pretty bad.
Yep. Yeah, well, I just thought I'd put it out there. That's my food for thought. Look, I'm not a rocket scientist when it comes to fixing problems like that, but that seems the simplest way to hire another crew to help the cops out. They do their job very well. But all this extra work with all these teenagers now, they just can't cope with it as far as I can see. But an extra group of some kind of police, security police, call them police, I don't care, security police would be good just for fast response, so people would feel a lot more safer if they know someone will be there. The cops can get there quick too, but it'd be good to know there's another...
Okay, but with great respect to you, Robert, don't you think that the police and the police... hierarchy haven't already thought of those things that you've just suggested?
That's what I mean. I don't know. I'm putting the food for thought out there. I think it's a good idea of some kind of help for the police if it's overloading them with the teenagers now. It'd be great to have some kind of force out there to help control the teenagers, because at the moment it's not much they can do about it. That's the response you get, and there's not much we can do about it, you know? I've seen on TV, I'm not making it up, what I see on the news, not just on media or anything, on the news, it's like it's a promotion for the kids. They see all this stuff on the news too, and it gets pretty exciting for them. I think that encourages them. But then the news is news, so people watch the news and they watch it too and get ideas how easy it is to home invade and walk away. It's
yeah,
crazy.
Well, that's true. That is true. All right, Robert, I appreciate your call, and I thank you very much for it.
All right, John, you have a good day, what's left of it.
Okay, thank you very much. Tell me what's on your mind, 1-300-56-4652. The New South Wales Police Commissioner, Karen Webb, thinks that sacking her top media... I mean, if she thinks that sacking her top media advisor will improve her media performance... then, as I said earlier, she is badly mistaken. The stark reality is that the Commissioner's media performance has been awful from the time she was first appointed to the job. Who did that? Yeah, the Premier, Dominic Perrottet. He was the one who gave her the job. It seems to me that the only advice that any media person provides to her can go one of three ways. The Commissioner either buggers it up or forgets it or simply ignores it. What's the point of it? I don't know. It doesn't amount to much. Liz Deegan has taken up the role of Chief Media Advisor to Commissioner Webb. Took it up in April last year, but yesterday it emerged that Mrs. Deegan has been told her services are no longer required. She didn't last long. She's the third senior media person to have parted ways with Karen Webb since her appointment as New South Wales Police Commissioner. Do people have a difficulty with Karen Webb? It would appear they do. It would appear they do. As I say, she's the third senior media person to have parted ways with Karen. And so Karen Webb has got to be difficult to work with, I can only assume. I don't know. Commissioner Webb is not and never will be a strong media performer, ever. I can tell you she's no Mick Fuller. No chance in the world she would ever be a Mick Fuller. She's not even an Andrew Scipione or a Ken Maroney. They were good, those blokes. They were very good. But Commissioner Webb is not good. She's Karen Webb, and no shuffling the deck chairs in her media team is going to change that fact. To be very blunt, for any media advisor, there's not a lot with which to work there. And frankly, the police minister, Yasmin Catley, has had a bit better grasp of the portfolio. She might be able to offer a bit of cover for Karen Webb. Paul Toole and David Elliott most certainly did in the last government, and they did. And both of them were terrific. They were. David Elliott and Paul Toole were very good. But instead, both the police commissioner and the minister have lurched on from one bloody debacle to another. And they really have. The holding in the recent double murders, I mean, the handling of that whole thing, allegedly at the hands of serving police officers, was a shocker. The subsequent mess over whether police would march in the Mardi Gras parade, that dragged on for days. And, of course, the shambles surrounding the response to the tasering death of a 95-year-old woman was the start of a very, very unhappy chain of events. Very, very unhappy chain of events. I've got no idea whether sacked media advisor Liz Deegan was good, bad or indifferent, I don't know. But what I do know is that any media advice to Commissioner Webb would have been lost in translation. I mean, she's not media, she's not politically savvy either, but she's not media savvy. And yet there are attributes to be navigated by any police commissioner. Karen Webb has proven incapable of rising to that challenge. She can't do it. Her dumping of Miss Deegan might be justified. It could, maybe could just justify the reasons why we're so unaware. But if the commissioner wants to blame Liz Deegan for her recent media meltdowns, then I can tell you the problem is a whole lot closer to home. A whole lot. Yes, I haven't played this song for ages and ages and ages. And it's a very pretty song by a couple of very talented people. And I want to play it now. I haven't played it forever, so I'll play it for you now. Listen.
Perhaps love is like a misty moon.
They were beautiful together, weren't they? Wonderful sound, wonderful music. Perhaps love. Beautiful song. All right, 1-300-564-652 is the telephone number if you'd like to give us a call and tell us what's on your mind. Who's there? Nicholas? Oh, Nicholas, are you there? Are you there, Nicholas? Nicholas may wake up in a moment. You there, Nicholas? Nicholas is not going to wake up. Okay, a couple of texts here. Morning, Jod. Good old Ralph. Typical of many religious zealots in bagging anybody who doesn't believe in what they believe in. Ralph is a hypocrite, always waffling on about people who gaslight him, but he's first to gaslight non-believers. I'm a proud atheist and not scared of going to hell, Ralph, because I don't believe it exists. Well, that's your attitude. You're entitled to it. That's James on the Gold Coast. James, thank you very much for the correspondence. And you're entitled to your beliefs. We're all entitled to our beliefs. Incorrect, though, some of them may be. Pick up the... I want to play more music. Pick up the... I love that Perhaps Love. Great song. Great song. Give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind. 1-300-564-652 is that telephone number that you dial. All you got to do is pick up the telephone and dial it. That ain't hard. Love it. Really love it. The Mighty Quinn. 1-300-564-652. The Prime Minister's getting to annoy a lot of people, I'm afraid, particularly in his home state of New South Wales, where he's not making any friends with his Labour colleagues in State Parliament. No, he is not. Premier Chris Minns is demanding answers as to why this state has been shortchanged significantly in the latest GST carve-up, and it has been shortchanged significantly. A review of the Commonwealth Grants Commission released on Tuesday has changed the formula that is used to distribute GST between the states. Now, under those changes, the New South Wales government will get $310 million less in GST in the 2024-2025 financial year than it received this year. I'll repeat that for you. The New South Wales government will get $310 million less, $310 million less in the 2024-2025 financial year than it received this year. Now, while we're receiving less, other states will get considerably more in that same financial year. They will get considerably more. Victoria stands to receive an additional $3.37 billion under the latest carve-up, while the mineral-rich state of Western Australia, and God knows it is, it's going to get an extra $838 million. Can you explain that? I bet you can't. Despite the fact that New South Wales is the most populous state and therefore contributes most to the nation's GST, we're getting less. Does that make sense? It is. New South Wales has got more people, and therefore it contributes more, and in fact most of the nation's GST, we get less. In fact, the Treasurer, David Mookie, says that the state will next year be shortchanged by about $1.65 billion than we would have got if the carve-up formula was left unchanged. He says every 14 cents paid by a person in New South Wales is now being donated to other states. 14 cents from each person, including those that are benefiting from their healthier iron ore prices, and we know that they're doing pretty well in some states when it comes to that. The GST distribution system was changed by the Morrison government, which introduced a floor below which GST payments wouldn't fall, so they said. The changes benefited Western Australia, of course, but a no-worse-off guarantee ensured other states would be compensated for shortfalls of the GST. The no-worse-off guarantee is due to end come 2026-2027 financial year, which will be a massive blow for the states like New South Wales, which rely on the guarantee. That's, that's a political fight for a later date, I'm afraid. Yeah. I don't know that things are looking good there. If you'd like to give us a call, you can. 1-300-564-652. Incidentally, with the intervention of the Commonwealth Grants Commission, New South Wales will have its share of GST cut progressively, even before the no-worse-off guarantee expires. So I don't know what difference it's going to make. David Mookie yesterday conceded it'll be virtually impossible for the state's budget to return to surplus next year. He said it was already looking very difficult, but the GST changes will make the surplus an absolute miracle. Premier Chris Minns said yesterday, I just want to make this really simple request of the Prime Minister and the Treasurer. Is this accidental or is this deliberate? Well, did you get an answer? It'll be interesting to find out if you did get an answer. All right, pick up the telephone, dial the number and tell me what it is that's on your mind. 1-300-564-652. Right, we're into the second hour of the John Laws Morning Show, so give us a call. We've heard a lot about the rising rate of crime in the nation's regions, the existence of which has been proven by the latest figures released by the Bureau of Crime Statistics and Research. The figures show that a rise in almost all crime in the regions between 2019 and 2024, and it also shows a stark contrast between those areas and the city of Sydney. Motor vehicle theft is up 20%. Domestic assault, goodness, is up 24%. Non-domestic assault is up 14%. Sexual assault is up by 47%. Non-domestic assault in residential premises up by 40%. Non-domestic assault at schools is up 30%. Now, the figures are proof that the concerns about increasing rates of crime are well-founded. They are real. It's not somebody's imagination. They are real. That's further evidenced by a comparison of crime rates in Sydney and regional areas. Property crime in regional New South Wales was 59% higher than in Sydney last year. You want to hear it again? In regional New South Wales, crime was 59% higher than in Sydney last year, and violent crime in the regions was 57% higher than in Sydney. Violent crime. They also say that the motivation behind the commission of crimes in the regions appears to be different to the cities. Data shows that cars were stolen in the bush. They were far more likely to be returned to owners than those who were stolen in Sydney. No, they're usually set on fire and left someplace. Anyway, the head of the bus car, whose name is Jackie Fitzgerald, says that it's likely because cars are stolen in the bush for the purpose of joyriding, while stolen cars in Sydney are usually sold or used to commit other crimes. Well, that's right. Jackie Fitzgerald is right. I suppose none of this is news to a person who lives in a regional town, but confirms the worries of those people. And how? I mean, you have every right to be worried. The figures should be used by people like the Police Minister, Yasmin Catley, and the Attorney General, Michael Daly. They should be used as evidence that people in the regions feel unsafe. And something needs to be done. You know, you've got to turn that around. That is not fair. We're supposed to look after all Australians, not just the city people. But those figures should really be brought to the attention of Yasmin Catley and the Attorney General as evidence that people in the regions feel unsafe. And something needs to be done about it. And something needs to be done about it very quickly. All right, tell me what's on your mind. Fred, are you there?
Yeah, how are you going?
I'm all right. What can I do for you, Fred?
Well, I was just thinking the way to drop the crime rate is, I reckon, chop a few fingers off.
I beg your pardon?
I'd say to reduce the crime rate with anyone caught, chop a finger or two off.
Are you mad, Fred?
No, I'm not mad. I'm quite sane, actually.
You are quite sane? Who told you you were quite sane? The way you're talking would indicate to me that you're quite mad.
Oh, well, whatever. I'll put just a thought for you anyway, John.
It's just a ridiculous thought. Go away and, you'll be...
Good, mate.
I beg your pardon?
I said, good, think about it.
You're mad. Yeah, there you go. You're mad and you got no guts. You can't stay the distance. You got to hang up. I don't know. Some of you people just drive me mad. I wonder why the hell I bother. Really, you're just a fool to say that you start chopping fingers off people. Next, he'll be talking about the guillotine. Quit while you're ahead. All right, 1-300-564-652 is our telephone number if you'd like to give us a call. All you got to do is pick up the telephone, dial the number, and tell us all about it. Every night and every day. And the games people play. Yeah, the brothers Bellamy, they're good, aren't they? And the games people play. Every night and every day. Talking about you and me and the games that people play. Okay, Nicholas, are you there?
Yes, good morning, Mr.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, Nicholas, good morning.
Good morning. Look, I wanted to, first of all, make a comment in relation to the good news that Chinese authorities are finally lifting the restrictions or the on Australian wine.
Very good news.
Very good news. But unfortunately, though, people have to be very careful. There are optimistic comments made by Treasury Wines of Australia with regards to the market in China and the new avenues available through the lifting of these restrictions of the Chinese. But since these restrictions were put in place, The internal Chinese market hasn't stood still. They've managed to develop a very sophisticated system of marketing within the Chinese market that has allowed Chinese consumers to buy wines that seem to be of the same quality as the Australian and American wines, but it's not necessarily the case. And we face, as Australian winemakers here, Australian winemakers face a major hurdle in being able to recapture the market that has been lost in the last 2 years.
Well, surely, Nicholas, the Australian winemakers would be aware of that, wouldn't they?
That's right. Okay, but what I'm saying is be very wary before you put your money into Treasury wines, thinking...
Now. We can't be giving investment advice to our listeners. That's wrong. That's simply your opinion. Mightn't be right.
That's right. I mean, it's simply my opinion. I'm just saying that we need to be...
Yes, I know, but I'm telling you, I'm not in a position, nor do I want to be in the position of giving advice, investment advice to my listeners.
Very true and very correct. Okay, I was just giving my own opinion here. Okay, with regards to the listener that said that I was obsessed with Dylan, I'm not necessarily obsessed with the artistry of Bob Dylan. I simply have an interest in it, in the same way that you may have an interest, say, in John Williamson, or somebody may have an interest in Slim Dusty. I think it's a little bit unfair that people criticize me for... perhaps my...
Look, Nicholas, you ring a radio program. You're putting yourself out in front of the public. You will be criticised if people don't like what you say. That's what
right.
It's all about. I mean, that's the good thing.
Yeah, okay, look, I accept that, but all I'm saying is that it's not necessarily an obsession when you promote the merits of a particular artist. It's simply an artistic appreciation.
Okay, well, that's good, and I'm sure a lot of people may understand that. I'm not sure that a lot of people would understand it, but it's really what you like is what you want to hear.
Yeah, and I'd just like to say a very special greeting to Ralph and Leonie for their input into the program. I know that a lot of people don't like to hear talk that seems to be overtly religious, but they have a point of view to make, and I do appreciate that you've given them a forum for their particular views.
Well, that's very nice of you to appreciate that, but as I say, give me a ring and tell me what's on your mind, and that's what they do.
Excellent. Okay. Look, thank you very much, Mr. Laws, for giving me the opportunity to express my opinions.
Goodbye, Nicholas. There's something about Nicholas. I don't know what it is. 1-300-564-652 is our telephone number. If you'd like to give us a call and tell us what's on your mind, pick up the phone, dial the number, and you can tell us exactly what is on your mind. I'm just reading this. A study shows that the brains of people who exercise moderately look 10 years younger than those who don't. Are they saying their brains look younger? Or the people look younger? A study showed that the brains of people who exercise moderately look 10 years younger than those who don't. How do you have a look at their brain? Yeah, with a brain looker. That, whatever they call them. What do they call an X-ray machine? 1-300-564-652 is the telephone number that you dial. Who's there? Caroline, are you there?
Yes, I am, John. This is my first call to any radio station.
Ever?
Ever.
How about that? Now, Caroline.
Yes.
Do you often get called Carolyn?
No, I'm a Caroline.
Well, that's good, because I knew a lovely Caroline who got Carolyn quite often, and it used to infuriate me and her. Your name is Caroline. It's
yes,
a lovely it is. Name. Sweet Caroline.
That's it.
Okay, my dear, why have you called me?
I'm probably not very sweet today, but thank you. First of all, I first came across you in Mudgee when I was growing up, and I have a lot of respect and a lot of time for what you do.
Well, that was nice.
I'm not sucking up to you. That's how I've always felt. So, you know, definitely Carolyn, I know that. I'm ringing from Dubbo.
Yep.
I would like to thank you immensely, beyond words can say, for picking up the crime rate in Dubbo. I have been here 30 years. I have been fortunate to live in other big cities regionally. In that 30 years, unfortunately, due to Dubbo's attack rates, I now have post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh, dear.
I'm 73 years old, and the only way I can get around, and I'm very fit and I exercise every day, like miles of walking, but I cannot share a footpath with anybody. I have to, because the diagnosis I've got, I walk on the top of the gutters, and hopefully they've all got cement gutters and they're not off in the wild somewhere. But people do look at me strangely, but it cannot be helped. I have had 6 documented bag snatches. I have had a house invasion. I was just looking after a friend's house and her small dog, and that was absolutely terrifying, but nothing happened because I keep my head. And I have been held up in the main street, which is the main highway from Wellington into town and out. So that's the main street. I have been held up in my yard, which faces the traffic, with no fence, by 2 youths. And one of them was, both of them were trying to, one of them had a knife and he was trying to back me up under my trees in my yard, along the driveway. And they had followed me down from the local arcade.
Okay, but tell me, what did you do about that?
I, actually, people know me. Well, I know my green bag, my green supermarket bag. I have carried that since the first bag snatch. And usually I have something very heavy in it. And what I did with this young boy with the knife, I said to him, because I have no fear, unfortunately, of being hurt. And I said, I'm not going any further back because I am not losing, I don't want to be under the trees. And I said to him, you may stab me if you wish, and you will probably get me because you're faster. But I said, I will put lumps upon lumps on you, and they will know who you are. And with that, because his threat didn't work, him and his little mate, who was standing down the bottom of the driveway, ready to catch my bag, went for their lives. I had every man and his dog in police cars turn up, and it fizzled out because they were both underage. Obviously known.
Oh, dear, dear, dear.
And I have actually now, after all that, and I was the only one. I was promised the lineup, and then 2 months later I was told, can't have lineups because he's got a limp. And I said, I don't want to see him dance. I just want to see his face. And I said, you know exactly who he is. And I said, I know exactly who he is. And since then, I have held one of them up just physically under a CCT camera up at the local mall. And I said, why do you attack me? I said, I am older, but I'm very quick on my feet. I am not afraid of you at all. And I said, why do you attack me? They said, because we can. And you're older. You're always alone. You wear jewellery. And you always dress well.
Dear, dear, dear. So they were quite open about their reasons for being criminals.
Yes. And I was like, I've got a voice that I know for sure I can call 28 horses from 3 paddocks away. And I said, I was screaming and yelling at the traffic, and people going past were waving to me, and you could see they were saying, what a lovely girl. She's waving to us.
Oh, and you weren't.
I was trying to get out from under the tree and the knife. The cops did tell me, the only thing they basically did tell me was he could have easily stabbed me if he wanted.
Okay, but tell me this, what was the end result? What happened to this child or young man? Caroline? Gone. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, she's gone. Somebody probably just stole her phone. Lives in a good area, doesn't she? 1-300-564-652 is our telephone number if you'd like to give us a call and tell us what's on your mind. Oh, God. There's another one. Never mind. You could give us a call and we'll talk to you. 1-300-564-652 is that telephone number. George, I don't believe it. The phones have got to be out. There's got to be a problem there. There's three. Something wrong there. Okay. 1-300-564-652 is our telephone number. Give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind. Yep. Okay. All right. For God's sake, tell me, Jimmy, what's on your mind?
Hello, John. I'll tell you what's on my mind. Another big round of rugby league, and it starts tonight. That's what's on my mind, John.
Okay. Well, now you've got to tell me who's going to win this big round of rugby league. It should be round two, isn't it?
Round two. Do we need to go back to round one and see how we went there, or...?
You want to, don't you? You bastard.
I'd love to,
you,
I'd love to be honest.
Yeah, I know you want... you. All right, go on. Go back to round one. What happened in round one?
Oh, I scored 5 out of 8, John. How did you go?
Don't ask that question. You know the answer. How did I go?
I don't know, but I know it was a number that was less than 5. That's all I know.
No, it wasn't. It was 5.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. It was 5.
Wow.
You and I were dead square.
Okay.
How did you get that wrong, Jimmy?
Aren't I meant to be the expert? How come you're equaling me in the tipping?
You are the expert.
Allegedly.
It's just you're not a very good expert.
No.
All right. Let's have a look at round two. That gets underway tonight.
Well, this is going to be an absolute cracker, John, isn't it? The Broncos and the Rabbitohs. So last year's grand finalists against the 2021 grand finalists, they both lost in round one over there in Las Vegas. And this has all of a sudden become a really important game. We've had Ezra Mam and the racist comment saga for the last 12 days. Latrell Mitchell's had his say on that. So too has Cody Walker. And now they play against each other. So this is a huge clash. Broncos back at home, big crowd. I think the Broncos win on the back of, you know, those star players that we have, that they have, that we talk about a lot, Reece Walsh, and Payne Haas, etc. But I think this is going to be a really close game, a cracking game of footy, a high-scoring game, but I'll tip the Broncos.
I will pick the Broncos too. I mean, they've got to be desperate to return to the winner's circle. And Souths are going to be tough, but I'm with you. And I'm not doing it just because you did it. I'm going to say the Broncos as well.
Yeah, Broncos in that one.
Okay. A couple of games to be played tomorrow night. In the first one, Cronulla is at home to the Doggies. Well, the Sharks scored a bit of a surprise win over the Warriors, while the Dogs showed that they've still got a long way to go. I'm disappointed in the Dogs, I've got to say. I reckon Cronulla will beat the Bulldogs.
And I will agree with you on that one too, because as you mentioned, round one victory against the Warriors. So over in New Zealand, in front of a sold-out crowd, after all the emotion of last year, and the Sharks are down 12-0 after 11 minutes, and somehow they win that game 16-12. And it wasn't Nicho Hynes starring. Well, he had a relatively quiet game. So for them to be able to do that shows what talent there is spread across the whole team at the Shark.
Oh, yeah. The talent is quite deep there. They're very, very good.
Yeah, some very good players. So that's something to be excited about from a Sharks fan's point of view. Not a whole heap to be excited about if you're a Bulldogs fan. In saying that, they did defend well. I know that sounds strange when they lost to the Parramatta Eels, but the Parramatta have had so much possession. The Bulldogs were gritty. You need to be more than gritty, and I agree with you. Sharks to win.
All right. What have we got? There's another game tomorrow night too, isn't there? Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Penrith playing Parramatta. That should be a hell of a sellout, shouldn't it? That should be big.
That'll be sold out out there at Penrith Stadium. And the thing about the Panthers is that they were kept to zero last week, which is most unusual. And the other thing about it is, of the last 5 games that these teams have played against each other, The Eels have won four of them. Now, the problem with the one that they didn't win was the 2022 Grand Final. So that's why the Panthers are looking for their fourth straight premiership. But I expect them to bounce back, John. I think they've you know, had that trip over to England for the World Club Challenge. They are unsuccessful there. They come back, then they have to go down to Melbourne. Now they're at home finally against an Eels side that there's a bit of emotion in this one. Remember the James Fisher-Harris comments after that Grand Final and how I think they were Parramatta's daddies, I think is the way...
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, a bit of emotion in this one, but I think the Panthers win at home.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I would think so. The Panthers can't lose two games in a row, I wouldn't think.
Most unusual for them to lose two in a row over the course of the last 4 years.
On Saturday, Arvo, Canberra hosts the West Tigers. That's happening in the nation's capital. That's a key year for the Tigers, and their new head coach, Benji Marshall, has emerged from the shadow of Tim Sheens, and he has. The Raiders upset Newcastle at home last week, and they're in very good form. What do you reckon? I reckon Canberra might beat the Tigers.
I'm going to go the home side again this time around. I think you're right. I think the Raiders surprised everyone last week with the way they played. Well, not with the way they played, but the victory they had. They played a really tough brand, a lot on the back of Jamal Fogarty's kicking game, which I think will come to the fore again this week against the Tigers. The Tigers are an interesting one, aren't they? All because of, well, lots of reasons, but mostly around Benji Marshall and his coaching debut. So he's got Lachlan Galvin in at 5'8". He's 18 years of age, John. So it's a brand new coach, brand new 5'8". Jareem Buller at the back, and he had a spectacular season last year. Really interested to see how he has developed for season 2024. But despite all of that, I think the Raiders win.
Really? Do you? I don't. I think the Tigers are going to win.
Ooh.
I do. Right. I do. I think it'll be a good game. Should be a fairly close game.
I think close, yeah. The Raiders haven't got a good record when they're at home favourites.
No. Anyway, you know more about it than I do, so I'll listen to what you've said, but I will stay with what I've said. Saturday evening, North Queensland play Newcastle in Townsville. Cowboys fans are going to be out in force for that one, aren't they? North Queensland scored a pretty strong win over the Dolphins last week. No reason why that form can't continue. I would reckon they can keep going. I think the Cowboys to beat the Knights, I think.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Another home side getting the victory there because that win they had against the Dolphins last week, as you mentioned, John, very impressive. And a lot of people thought that the 2022 Cowboys were going to roll into 2023, and that didn't happen.
It did not happen.
No, they look sharper. They look improved. They look strong all across the park again. You know, really, really good players in key positions. So they're looking strong. The Knights are a really interesting one. I think they've still got some issues around who they play in the halves and what Coach Adam O'Brien does there with his bench. So, and as we know, there's a lot of reliance on Caleb Ponga. Didn't have his best game last week, and the Knights struggled. So, look, I think it improved Knights' performance, but I'm tipping the Cowboys to win.
All right. I'll go with you just for the hell of it. I'll go with you. Melbourne's at home to the Warriors for Saturday night. You know, the Storm without Cameron Munster. Anyway, they managed to beat Penrith without him last week, didn't they? The Storm, I think, will be too good for the Warriors. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree. They were extraordinary last week to keep the Penrith side. And that Penrith didn't play their best footy, but to keep them to zero in that first game was just amazing. So, yes, no Munster and still no Nelson as for Solomona. They've got a record here against the Warriors. They have won 14 straight games against the Warriors, John. They play them at home at Amy Park. Warriors disappointing last week. I think the Storm comfortably.
14 games they've won?
14.
Jesus, that's good, isn't it?
If they can win this game, they'll equal a record that dates back, I think, to 1980.
Well, it'll be an exciting game.
Be a big game. That's the record the Warriors want to avoid.
Yes, I'll bet. Sunday afternoon, Manly is back at Brookie against the Roosters. They're going to be without Spencer Lenu for the next eight matches, aren't they?
Yep.
Wow. Both sides have scored strong wins in Las Vegas, but I think the Roosters will win this one. What do you reckon?
I've gone every home side, John, up to this point, and I agree with you. I think the Roosters win. And I'm not saying that. I thought the Seagulls were really good over in Las Vegas. Really exciting to see Tom Trbojevic back and running freely, and Daly Cherry Evans just pulling the strings like the puppeteer that he is, and Luke Brooks responding to the freedom that he has there. There were so many good things for the Seagulls, but the Roosters were really good too coming out of Las Vegas. Tedesco, unbelievable. Yes, no Spencer Lenu, but it's not a bad replacement when you can get nearly 300 game of Jared Waria Hargreaves to come into the side. Dom Young comes in for his first game for his new club. Really high quality clash. It'll be a sold out Four Pines Park, but I'm going to go the Roosters.
I'm going to go the Roosters too. And in the other Sunday game, the Dolphins host St George Illawarra. That's happening in Redcliffe. The Dolphins should be, I mean, they should win that game, shouldn't they?
Well, this is the other away side that I'm going to go, John. I was underwhelmed by the Dolphins, and Wayne Bennett's made a number of changes to this side. Jake Avarillo comes in, Isaiah Katoa comes in, and Ewan Aiken. So changes and changes in key positions too. But the Dragons, they were excellent against the Titans. The Titans were disappointing, but Dragons were really good. Everyone's excited about what Shane Flanagan has done. You know, they may not make the eight, but they're certainly not going to run last, as some people were predicting. So I think the Dragons go back up to Queensland and they get themselves another victory.
Oh, well, I don't agree with you, but that's all right.
That's all right.
You're probably right.
So we've disagreed on two. You think the Tigers will beat the Raiders?
Yes.
And the Dolphins will beat the Dragons, and I think the opposite.
Okay, well, we'll see how we go. And if you're right, shut up.
And if I'm right, I swear, John, I swear, I will not make mention of it next week.
I won't hold my breath. You're not going to be right anyway, so don't worry about it.
No, that's right.
All right, mate, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. What do you got planned? You got to work, I guess.
Got a bit of work on Sunday. Got a lot of kids' sport coming up. Footy, cricket was finished last week. There's a bit of work for the kids too. You know, the kids work on a Saturday and a Sunday morning, so that's great.
That's good that you do that. That's very good you do it. You're a good dad.
Yeah, no, it's one of the great joys in my life. I coach my daughter's rugby league side, John, as I mentioned, and it's a thoroughly enjoyable experience.
Good on you. Good to talk to you, Jimmy. Have a lovely weekend and a lovely week, and we'll talk to each other next week.
I'll look forward to that, mate. You have a great weekend as well.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. I'll look forward to talking to you again. Yes, Jimmy Smith, good bloke. Good bloke. Good family too. 1-300-564-652 is our telephone number if you would like to give us a call and tell us what's on your mind. All you've got to do is pick up the phone and dial that number. I've got a brochure in my hand here. It's a good one too. Yeah. It's about Outback by Air. You know, instead of driving, think about how much more of Australia you could see in less time if you're in a nice aeroplane. Well, you can be in a nice aeroplane and a safe aeroplane and a comfortable aeroplane with Outback by Air in just a fraction of the time, as you could imagine, it would take you by road. Outback by Air will fly you to destinations you'll never forget and you'll probably never see again. A very special tour they have is called the Red Centre Indulgence. That takes you deep into the Outback and to some of the most remote locations scattered across this wonderful country of ours. On this marvellous Outback by Air trip, you'll visit places like Trilby Station. Well, you've heard,
yes,
it, of course you would have.
Louth,
funny little Louth on the river. I could tell you of an experience I had one day that lasted for a week in Louth. I went there for a day and stayed there a week. It was under the same table. Longreach, Winton, Birdsville, Uluru, all those places you'll see. It's wonderful. It's exciting. You're having a look at this, the greatest country in the world, and fantastic outback. It's a 8-day adventure, and you'll be talking about it forever. So you better hurry. The trip of a lifetime leaves on the 4th day of May. So it's the 14th of May. You've got a bit of time. Leaves on the 4th day of May. It's filling up quickly, so move, but you've got a bit of time. What you'll see in a week on an Outback by Air tour would take you up to a month, or probably more, in a motor car. In the comfort of your own private aircraft with the Outback by Air, you can relax and you can take in the breathtaking landscapes before reaching your next fascinating destination. And because there's a maximum of 11 passengers and two crew on every Outback by Air tour, there's no boarding delays, no messing around, waiting for your baggage to come off the airplane, none of that. You know, lifelong memories, just moments away when you take all the inclusive air tour with Outback by Air. That's what you've got to take, the all-inclusive tour, Outback by Air. To check Outback by Air, the Red Centre Indulgence, as it's called, and other tours, plenty of others, and other destinations, you go to outbackbyair.com.au, outbackbyair.com.au, or you can phone Outback by Air on 1300 310-503. Outback by Air, 1300-310-503. Okay, tell us what's on your mind. 1-300-564-652 is the telephone number. We got Caroline back. Are you there, Caroline?
Yes, John. I was just grateful that I was able to get that in before it cut out. Thank you very much for giving me the ground to do it.
Okay, that's all right. What do you want to talk about? I've forgotten what you did talk about.
Being attacked in Dubbo. And
robbed in Dubbo, yeah.
Yes, and probably the house invasion was the worst, but because I didn't even know there was anybody in there until this tiny dog who lived there with her owner. I was simply housekeeping. This tiny dog actually let me know just by her action that there was a stranger in the house. But that was probably the worst.
Okay, tell me, what was the result of that? Did the police get that person?
No. It was about, I rang immediately as soon as he went over the back fence, which was about 6 foot high. So he'd obviously been around before, knew the area. It was about 5 minutes before the police dog and the policeman came. He was magnificent, and you know the dog was wonderful, but he was long gone. So they tried to track him with the dog, but that didn't work out. And probably about three quarters of an hour later, two policemen turned up. And the policeman had two or three smokes before he came in and took the details, and that was it.
Okay, but got him?
No.
Didn't get
him? They're underage. They don't get them. They're underage. It's not worth their trouble.
Oh, that's right. It's not worth the trouble to get them.
No, and they just get to put it on the social platform and think it's wonderful, and then we get to do it again, mostly, sometimes, people two and three times they get their cars stolen. You know, who foots the bill for insurance? Who foots the bill for cars? Who cares?
I really can't tell you in detail, but apparently there's a lot of crime of that sort in Dubbo.
Of course. But there's a lot of personal crime. There's a lot of repeat crime of cars being repeatedly stolen. They're very good at opening roller doors, so you have to put some sophisticated systems on the roller door to the garage. And I can't imagine anyone not having security lights.
Yeah.
But I've seen photos taken under security lights, and these ewes are looking up at the camera and smiling and extremely arrogant.
God save us. Dear, 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 what's the world coming to, Caroline?
You should live here. But according to the mayor yesterday in the telly, he said lots of people come to him, and his response is, what do you want me to do about it?
I spoke to the mayor.
Lucky you, I couldn't get to speak to him.
Well, I spoke to him. Yes, now I might have whistled in the wind.
Yes.
Now, listen, Caroline, dear, I'll get you to hold there. I'll put you back to the switch. I'd like to make sure that the police are right over this problem with you. So if you could just hold the line there for me, will you do that?
Yes, I will.
Okay, Caroline.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you very much for making the call, Caroline.
Thank you very much for what you're doing.
Okay, I'll do my best. Now, you hold on. Don't hang up. Wait right there and we'll see what we can do to help. We'll make sure that the police know all about this. I'm sure they do by now. And we'll also make sure that somebody ring the mayor and just remind the mayor about this call, because we spoke to the mayor yesterday. I don't know that he was really over it, but he'll be over it now, because we'll make sure that he hears the detail, and we'll do what we can do to help Caroline, of course. All right. 1-300-564-652 is the telephone number that you dial. I've just been reading about the Outback by Air tours, and my God, they're good. They are very, very good. If you want to check out the Red Centre Indulgence Trip and other tours, there are plenty of other ones, you can get in touch with Outback by Air on 1300-310-503. I'll tell you what, the brochure I've got is fabulous brochure. Really beautifully done brochure. So if you want to get hold of a brochure and you want to find out more about the Outback by Air Red Centre Indulgence, you can phone them on 1300-310-503. OK, pick up the telephone, dial the number and tell me what is on your mind. 1-300-564-652. Alan, are you there?
Morning, John.
Good day, Alan. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good, thank you. How are you going?
I'm okay, thank you. What can I do for you, Alan?
I just wanted to let you know something. I'm in Byron Bay, just down the coast from us, a town called Balna. Now, there's a street in that called Tamar Street. On the news the other night, there was a corner. There's a corner block being, you know, the big brick building knocked down there. If it's going to be an Aboriginal Indigenous medical centre, okay?
Yeah.
The mayor was on of Ballina and said, she said, this will be very good for the Indigenous people. Okay. Then another fellow came on, is in charge of the construction and what have you, and he said, it shocked me what he said, actually. He said, this is a medical centre for Indigenous people only. It will be staffed by Indigenous people only. And he said, when Indigenous people don't feel well, they only want to be surrounded by their own people. Now, I got a bit of a shock with that. I thought to myself, so that's saying they're not going to employ white nurses or any white medical people. It's all going to be Indigenous people.
Well, according to that, yes.
Exactly what the guy said, John. You can see it yourself. I think it was on the NBN News about two nights ago. And I was sitting watching the news, and I thought to myself, Is that really closing the gap?
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to get you to hold there. Don't go because we're going to bump into the news, but I want to talk to you further. I'd like to know what the story is, because I feel exactly the same way about it that you feel about it, and your feelings, believe me, are quite understandable. So, Alan, if you can hold on there just a little bit, we'll go to the news and then I'll come back to you quickly. Okay, Gary, are you there?
Yeah, hi, John. How are you?
Okay, Gary, what can I do for you?
Just about Clive Palmer and that to start with. The thing about war, mate, it just makes rich people richer. So that's why they'll all be hanging together. But that's not the reason I called. The reason I called is everyone's saying, let's call the mayors of the town, let's call the mayors. And their job really is rakes, roads and rubbish, isn't it?
I beg your pardon?
Their job as mayor is rakes, roads and rubbish, isn't it?
Well, yes, that's fundamentally what it's supposed to be.
And as soon as they step out of line from that, everyone complains that that's not what they're concentrating on. Why don't we get, instead of the mayors, we get Jihad Dib, the Minister for Justice, on the phone?
I think that's very unlikely. Of course, I beg your pardon?
Sorry, he should be the one that's taking these phone calls, not mayors of this town and that town. It's his job to be caring for youth justice.
He's the member of the Legislative Assembly. He's the member for Bankstown. He's the Minister for Customer Service and Digital Government. He's the Minister for Energy Services. And he's the Minister for Youth Justice. His hands are pretty full, I would have thought.
Well, how about we relieve him of a couple of those so we can concentrate on one? I mean, he was the principal of Punch Bowl Boys High, so he knows about youth and their behaviour. So surely he should have some kind of vested interest to work out these people's problems.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
All right. Well, that's what I thought I'd ring up and say, John.
Okay.
Put him on the phone instead of the mayor's.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what we can do.
All right, mate. Thank you.
Okay, Gary. Thank you. Have a good day. Yes, he's a member of the legislative. He's a member for Bankstown. He's the Minister for Customer Service and Digital Government. He's the Minister for Emergency Services. He's the Minister for Youth and Justice. He's got his hands full. I don't know. You know, Youth Justice provides services that help support young people and their families, including bail assistance and rehabilitation programs. I don't know. Sounds like he's got too much on his plate. Anyway, good on you, Gary. It was a good call. We'll try and get hold of the man and get directly from him. We'll get hold of Jihad Dib and see what we can find out. We'll do our best anyway, Gary, but your call was good and I thank you for it. 1-300-564-652 is our telephone number if you'd like to give us a story. Call and tell us what's on your mind. Keith, are you there? You there, Keith?
G'day, John. How are you, mate?
I'm all right. What do you want to talk about, Keith?
John, I'm from the Territory, and I've talked to you before, 20 years ago, about the Constitution. And, mate, I've been listening to the people about the youth crime, and... Mate, I'd rather be walking the streets of Punchbowl than walking the streets of Darwin, Catherine, Tennant Creek or Alice after about 6 o'clock. Mate, in Alice, a couple of days ago, we had a home invasion that they were carrying a knife and they broke into a house, smashed the door in, and it was at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, God.
And they assaulted a 77-year-old man and his wife.
Oh, dear.
And they hit him with the knife, and he's in hospital. She got away with any injuries. And stole everything in the house and took off. And they, in Darwin, they've gone to the point of using firearms. And the mere fact is that when they attack people with, say, a machete, an axe, a knife, you know, anything like that. They're not allowed to say what the weapon is on the radio or in police press releases. They call it an edge weapon. Now, their favourite weapons are crossbows, machetes, knives, axes. I've seen them use them in Darwin and ours. So, mate, one thing I want to know is... We just had the voice referendum and Australia said no. And now, however, we've got state and councils asking us to, telling us that they're going to have the voice in their states. It's still pushing it in the territory. 95% of the population of adult prisons is Aboriginal people. And usually 100% of juvenile detention. But we got no more room in those jails anymore. And every police cells have been taken over by corrections. The one in Darwin City is just a prison. You see the corrections officers and their meals going up and down the ramp every day. Because the Northern Territory Labor government has said they refuse to make laws, race laws, and they refuse, which is a good thing. They're not allowed to by the Constitution. And that they refuse to build more jails and detention centres because they're bad for the criminal. Now, someone's forgot to tell them the jails are there to punish the crim, not to be punished, but to punish the crim by taking a little bit of freedom away.
Okay, I'm sure they're aware of that, Keith, but what's the real reason for the call? Let's get to the point.
The real reason is that they should know that jails and detention centres are better for the protection of the community, and they refuse to build anymore. So actually they worry more about the prisoners than they worry about the community. And the mere fact is that I want to put the point of the Constitution to you. The states and the other places, the councils that put bringing in the treaty, if you remember in 1967, John, the referendum that made Aboriginal people citizens of Australia. It's subsection 26 of section 51 of the Constitution. Before 1967, used to say the federal government have power to make special laws for the peace and order, good order of any race. And then it was said, except the Aboriginal people of the states, and then said to make special laws. 67 took out the Aboriginal people of the states. Now, it's only the federal government can make laws for Aboriginal people. So I want to know where the territories and the states and the councils that are making special laws to change the demographic of, or just the way we are in our territories and the states, that only the federal government can do.
Only the federal government can do it, yeah. That's true.
Someone's got to tell me how the hell they're getting away with it. And after the referendum.
Well, it's part of the Constitution. They're not getting away with anything. I mean, it's quite legal.
What, for the states to make special laws for Aboriginal people?
Yes, obviously.
How?
They couldn't do it if it wasn't legal.
That's exactly right, mate. And that's not the only thing in the Constitution that's being ignored. Mate, it's just becoming a bit of a joke to me. It's seriously that, the territory make a special law. They signed a contract with a foreign company that stops private enterprise from coming to the territory to do certain industries.
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, that's against Section 92 of the Constitution.
Anyway, Keith, this is all getting a bit boring now. I understand that you are on a hobby horse. I understand you feel it's a problem, and you're probably quite right, but I don't know what we do about it.
Yeah, I just want to know how the hell they got the authority to do it.
Keith, I've talked to you before, haven't I?
Many times.
Yeah, you don't sound very well. Have you got a crook throat or something?
No, I haven't got my teeth in, mate.
That's what it is. Anyway, I could tell there was something different. Go find your teeth and then give us another call, huh? Okay, tell us what's on your mind. 1-300-564-652. Ron, are you there?
Oh, good morning, John. It sounds like this law and order, the crime, is just getting out of control, isn't it? I can't remember it ever being this bad.
You can't what?
I can't remember it ever being this bad before.
Oh, yes, it's just that we have stronger and better communication now, so we hear about it. I don't think it's any worse than before, it's just we hear about it more.
Yeah, right. Well, it's pretty bad when you call the police in an emergency situation and you can't get them to help you. I think there'd be a few votes in law and order in the next election, because there's a lot of people that would really like to see a few more police officers on the beat.
Well, I know that we certainly would, but we need more police. We haven't got enough police. That's one of the problems.
Yeah, you said you don't agree with vigilantes, and neither do I. So obviously they need more police. It's priorities, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's...
They spend their money in the government.
They should spend money on more police. I agree with you. But then again, it's not a bottomless pit. I mean, money doesn't grow on trees. You just got to make sure that you've got it in the budget before you can spend it out of the budget.
Yeah, what about the boss of the police? Was that the one you were saying sacked a media manager today?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she's got to, do a bit more, I reckon.
I would agree with that.
And the Mins Mr. Minns and even Albo.
Yeah.
To do a bit more about this, because, you know, it's getting out of control.
Yeah, I don't know what you expect Albo to do about it. It's a state issue.
It sounds like almost all around the country.
Well, it is, but it's still a state issue. It's up to the state to look after it. I don't know what the solution is. No, more police. I always say more police, but...
And more Father O'Reilly. Father O'Reilly, is that his name? Father Bill O'Reilly or whatever? For the young fellas, they need a bit of guidance and help, and I'd even have them building their own prisons. I'd take them out in the country and teach them to build houses and their own accommodation and tell them, you know, what do you want, a life of the good things, or do you want a life of crime? Try to appeal, get that more appealing to them to have a good life. And they need, you know, some people like Father Bill O'Reilly helping them.
Yeah, good bloke. But I'll tell you what, your idea of getting them to build their own prisons, that's not a bad one if they had the ability to build it, but you'd find that you'd be flat out finding any young bloke who would have the ability to build a prison. You know, they wouldn't have done apprenticeships, or they wouldn't have had any experience. But yeah, I agree with you about Father Chris Riley. Thoroughly good fella.
Very good fella. Yeah, start building the fence first, and you know, take them out in the country somewhere. It's probably hard to find somewhere to build a prison, but isn't it?
Yeah, nobody wants a prison next door, mate.
No, but we've got to do it. We've got to. We can't just leave them on the street, getting worse and worse.
I don't know that it's getting worse and worse. I don't know that it is getting worse and worse.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like it to me, and it's very disconcerting when you ring the police and they don't turn up, you know, and you've got to take matters into your own hands.
Okay, but have you had that experience?
Yeah, I've had that experience. I didn't turn up till the next day.
I see. And you, okay, what was the problem you had that made you call them?
Someone was out of control, and I called the police, and they just didn't turn up, and it just kept getting out worse and worse until people needed to be protected. So I stepped in. Because I'm big enough and ugly enough to look after myself, but they weren't. So I stepped in to help, and then the next thing I'm locked in a cell while they interrogated me, questioned me. Fortunately, they believed me, and it was okay. But it's pretty bad when you call for help and you don't get any.
You end up getting lumbered. No, it's not good. Not good at all.
Nah.
All right.
Really bad.
I'm sure we'll hear more stories.
Yeah, for sure, mate, for sure.
Okay, Ron, thank you for the call. Good to talk to you. Call again another day, huh?
Thank you, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye. Tell me what is on your mind, 1-300-564-652. Well, the American President Joe Biden has clinched the Democratic nomination for November's presidential election. I'm not surprised, prompting rival Donald Trump to claim that the president could be dead beforehand. Charming. A very decisive victory in the swing state of Georgia has assured Joe Biden of the Democratic nomination, leaving a lot of American voters with the most unbelievable of tasks. You know, they've got a tough job on their hand. It's pretty farcical to think that 4 years down the track, after the Washington riots and the blame game that has followed, the next presidential contest will be rerun. It'll just be a rerun of the last one. Won't it? Both Biden and Trump are flawed. They are. And unpopular. They are. And yet, remarkably, one of them will emerge from November's general election as the next president of the United States. You know, there are many in America who question, how did we get here? Well, I'd be asking it if I was an American. How the hell did we get here? If somebody knew, then maybe it could have been headed off, but obviously nobody knew. It'll be the first election featuring two U.S. presidents since 1912. That in itself is remarkable, but for many it's also quite depressing. You know, Donald Trump has been asked about the prospect of Joe Biden securing the Democratic nomination, to which he replied, I assume Joe's getting to be the candidate. I'm only the only opponent rather than life itself. I'm his only opponent rather than life itself. You know, the indication there's pretty obvious. He's since raised the possibility of Joe Biden dying before the November polling day. And while that's, you know, pretty macabre from Donald Trump, even within the Democrats, there are grave doubts about Biden's prospects of being out for another 4 years as president if he was to win. I've got no idea what's driving Biden towards the idea of another term. It seems extraordinary to me, but he wants it and he's going for it. I mean, he's increasingly frail. You've only got to watch him. His news conferences can be a rambling mess, and he's making fewer and fewer public appearances, and for obvious reasons. Why would he put himself through another presidential campaign, for God's sake? Does he have the staying power? Does he have the mental acumen to get through another bruising campaign? And it'll be bruising. You know, it's not a matter of being ageist. These are very, very serious issues. And they're occupying the minds of Democratic operators and supporters in Washington. The Biden camp is aware that that he'll need to work very hard to assure a sceptical electorate that he's still physically and mentally able to thrive in one of the most demanding and high-profile jobs in the entire world. Now, Donald Trump is viewed by many, many Americans as a serious threat to democracy. And for his rusted-on fan base, none of that matters. They love him, no matter what. They want Trump to be given the four-year term they claim was denied him 4 years ago. And they'll campaign to get him back into the Oval Office, and they won't give up. As for Joe Biden, he's probably taking a nap somewhere in the West Wing. I don't know. I wouldn't know. But I don't want to be cruel about Joe Biden. I happen to like him. But Donald Trump is a fighter, and he'll keep fighting.
Radio 2SM.
Okay, give me a call. Tell me what it is that's on your mind. 1-300-5646-52. Luke, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, John. Enjoying the show. Poor old Clive Palmer there, this building of the Titanic thing. I think he'll have to settle with a little miniature one. But I'll bet you he starts selling tickets for the first cruise. What, you're going to get one of those?
Yeah, well, if I could, I would, of course.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But I doubt I'll still be alive by the time the bloody thing's finished.
I think it's going to be a long, long way off. But hey, today, Albert Einstein was born in 1879, 14th of March. So much effect he had on the world. It's quite incredible when you look up. He used to work in a patent shop in Switzerland. And then he started putting out these articles into this, like the science journals and that, about the theory of relativity. And he used to extremely closely observe what was going on. And he noticed that the planet Mercury didn't seem to, its elliptical orbit didn't seem to add up. And that's one of the things he noticed. And then he kept working on that. And then it ended up that he worked out that light actually has a mass. And you get in this, then the theory of relativity. I've got no idea. I've tried to absorb it sometimes, but it's above me. You know, it's just really concentrated, but it's changed physics totally. And it's that, in that way, it's changed our lives totally. The creation of the nuclear bomb is a big one that everyone points at. It's not all good. It can sometimes science can really create some things that become like monsters, you know?
You're quite right there. It was an extraordinary fellow, Einstein, wasn't he?
I would have loved to have sat down with him sometime and just, but yeah, it seems he had a bit of humility, which would be always good. And later in his life, he was really trying to say, I wish I hadn't released all these ideas. You know, it was a joint, a lot of other scientists involved, especially that Oppenheimer guy. I'm going to try and get to see that movie, see what they make of that.
Apparently,
that in Israel and Japan. Sorry, Japan's not really on board that because it's a country that got hit by Nagasaki and Hiroshima. But look, today, really big news. The US has just said, we're halving the production of the Virginia submarines, the nuclear-powered submarines, and for them, they're nuclear-armed as well. They're letting us down gently here, John. I think it's just we're going to be looking pretty crazy. And you remember that meeting with Joe Biden and Richie Sunak and Albo where they signed up to this?
Yep.
One piece didn't seem to look like the others, and that was Albo. Albo, I was looking at the others. They seemed to be winking at each other, you know, and something didn't seem to fit. Our Japanese deal with Japan for subs fell apart. The French one fell apart with Morrison. I'm not looking happy. Look, AUKUS, if you put it round the other way, you put the US first, the UK second, and Australia last, you get you, sucker. And look, that's, I really feel the amount of money, the $368 billion, just seemed to come out of nowhere. It's really some very difficult things. Firstly, the trainees that we've, are they the submarine trainees that we're presenting? If this falls through, are they going to just go and work for the Americans? That's something we need to really know.
I really don't have any idea.
Yeah, and hey, if do we go back to the Collins class sub, or we try and build a diesel electric? Very, very much on. But I believe the nuclear waste $1 billion that all this waste everywhere in the world, no one can get rid of, is what people are peddling to try and dump in Australia. And look, it's not fair. The population should be able to have a say, at least, on what we've got in our future. Are we going to take the burden of nuclear waste? They tried to dump it in Argentina, would you believe, beforehand. They tried the same act on them. And
I wonder where it will end up.
Well, the nuclear subs, the old nuclear subs in Britain, 15 of them are sitting at Southampton Wharf, waiting to go somewhere. You've seen the piles of Russian subs that are sitting up in the north of Russia there. There's no solution. And so they want to get it out of the way. They need to have a pretense of a solution so that they can keep building the reactors. And this week, the Lib Nats are going to nominate six possible places. Plutonium Pete, I'll have to call. I used to call him Daycare Dutton, but the new name, Plutonium Pete, what's he going to, which places is he going to pick out? Nora Heads, Gladstone, Jervis Bay, Geelong. Where is he going to put these nuclear reactors?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Very, very crazy stuff. And what about the TikTok situation? 170 million TikTok users are in the USA. And very interesting, Trump's changed his mind on it. He was, oh, yeah, we'll close down TikTok. Now he's reversed that totally. His policy on the IVF is reversed as well. He changes his mind. He's not only crazy, but where is this TikTok thing's pretty serious. You've got so many users in Australia, and are we going to close it down because America does? Are the Chinese going to sell their part?
Luke, the point is we don't know.
No, I don't know. And hey, a little bit of Melbourne stuff. If you go down Coburg, Sydney Road, something's wrong with the real estate there, mate. Every second building seems to be up for rent, sometimes three in a row. Something's going wrong there with the real estate. And out on the Yarra Trail, these are the old, remember the old flying foxes?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
30,000 of them in this little spot in the gum trees there. That's where they hang out in the daytime. But they operate at night, and they go and they strip all the fruit trees around Melbourne, you know.
And apart from that, they crap all over the place.
Oh, on the push bike, you come around the corner, and it stinks to high heaven, you know, when the wind's blowing the wrong way. But 30,000, there's a lot there. They seem to have settled in. I was quite surprised to see them.
Well, they'll have to do something. They'll have to do something about it.
Cooks in Australia do. They operate at night.
All right, Luke, thank you for the call. I'm sure we will talk to you again sometime. 1-300-564-652. That's our telephone number. If you'd like to give us a call, all you've got to do is pick up the telephone, dial the number. 1-300-564-652. Why didn't somebody tell me? Okay. That bloody thing is no good. 1-300-564-652. If you would like to give us a call and tell us what's on your mind, pick up the phone, dial the number, and you can tell us all about it. Yeah, dear old Mama Cass. She was good. Dream a little dream of me. Okay, give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind. 1-300-564-652 is that telephone number. Denise, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hello.
I should get to hear from you after 40 years. It's like a miracle.
After 20 years?
40 years.
40? Why does it take so long?
I could never get hold of you, and I've been around the universe and down the Australian Eastern Seaboard, but I couldn't stop laughing at your empathy. Firstly, and you go, I love you. Yeah, 40 years. 40 years, that's how old I am, and I don't even feel old.
Well, I'm glad. How old did you say you were?
72.
72. Well, that's pretty good. You're 72.
I don't look it, but who knows at that point? Doesn't really matter, but I couldn't stop laughing at your comments, and then I went.
Anyway, Denise, we've got to get on with it. Why did you call me?
I called you basically to say that I follow your radio station, you, and thank you so much for your empathy and caring about Australia. Firstly, that was really important, and the other point was that I agree with you, totally agree with you, that where are the parents? Uncle, where are the parents?
Yeah, well, we should all be giving that a bit of thought, including the parents.
Well, I know where my sons are, and they're fine. They're not going to go and stab or pillage anybody. At least you know where your children are. That was my main point, going, if you don't know where your children are, well, what sort of human are you? And
Denise, do you live by yourself?
Off and on, yes, actually, yes, I do.
You've got no children with you?
No.
I see.
No, but I have a big family network, and my brother's got cancer at the moment, so I was sort of worried, sick and a little bit. You know, when you worry,
of course you worry.
I did. I was worried. I thought he was going to die there for a while and sort of go through every sort of emotion you could imagine. And no, so five kids, all still alive. And
listen to me, Denise. Are you on any medication?
No.
Do you drink?
Yes.
Ah. Have you been drinking this morning?
Yes.
What have you drunk this morning, Denise?
Oh, not much.
Yeah, but that's not answering the question. What have you drunk this morning?
Oh, two reds.
What?
Glasses of red.
Two?
That's it. And I was awake at 5 o'clock, so I'm not doing too bad, and I can still mow a lawn, etc., etc.
Sweetheart, it's not doing you any good.
Oh, you're not going to give me a lecture.
No.
I love you, John. No.
No. I'm not. No, I'm not.
Thank you so much for that. I can still mow that lawn, which is amazing, which I'd really loved.
You can what?
I enjoyed mowing the back lawn that I really loved.
Oh, well, isn't that nice? I'm glad that you enjoy mowing the back lawn.
I did. I wanted to know if 72 I didn't have cardiovascular arrest. Or I was thinking about you going, I hope you're okay.
I'm fine. Don't worry about me. I'm Now, Denise.
Yes.
You've got to stop that drinking. You've got to stop that drinking.
Oh, who said?
I said you've got to stop drinking. I care about you.
Oh, you mean Lawsy's told me, John Laws.
Yeah.
I walked a bit of a distance, but oh, do I sound like I'm half cut? Oh, dear me. That's a bit of a worry.
Denise, that's a bit of a worry, but you're a bit of a worry. It's morning, and you're drunk. Is that good? It's morning time. It's not the evening. It's not after dinner when you could have had one or two quiet ones with your dinner, or before dinner even. But you are drunk.
Oh, dear me. You've just put me on radio. My son has to hear this on radio while he's working at the juvenile detention centre in Grafton. You'll go, Mum.
Anyway, Denise, you know, I wish there was something I could do to help you. I feel very sorry for you because you've obviously got a problem. Have you sought some advice about this problem?
No.
Don't you think it would be a good idea?
Perhaps. No, thank you. You sobered me up. But I loved your humour. Oh, no, I was a bit sad. So mentally I was worried about my brother dying and I overreacted. Possibly that has tubes sticking out of every orifice in his...
When did your brother die?
He hasn't died yet, but he's gone through cancer and had to have half his body.
Okay. Well, now, listen, do you see your brother? Is he in hospital?
Yes.
Do you go and see him in hospital?
Yes.
Do you go and see him in the condition you're in now?
No.
So, in other words, you get sober up. You sober up before you go and see your brother?
Yes.
Well, if you...
I can actually, yes.
Well, if you can sober up then, why don't you sober up now? Why did you get drunk to begin with?
I don't know.
No, that's the problem.
It's heritage. Oh, I love your honesty. That's why I like you. That's why I rang up to go, thanks. The 40 years of reminding me when I was sober, when I listened to you 40 years through Fine Flower and my life. That's how long you've been in my life.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that.
Well, I'm glad that you said it, and I'm glad I'm in your life, but I wish I was a bit of use to you in your life, and I wish I could encourage you to stop drinking. Now go on, stop drinking. Enough's enough, isn't it?
Fair enough. Yeah, okay. Yep, I'll go and drink coffee and walk up the street and take my flower bag to go do shopping and, oh, God, I sound that bad, but it took a lot of courage to ring you up. Sorry.
Look, Denise, my dear, you've really got to do something about it. I suggest you go and have a cold shower now and then take a good look at yourself and think about what you're doing with your life. You're just destroying it. You're just destroying your own life. You only get one. God's generous. He gives you one. And you're destroying it. That's gratitude, isn't it?
I like your courage, yes. No, I do read the Bible and throw it all in there.
Yeah.
Oh,
anyway, sweetheart, I've got to go, so you've got to go, and I hope you call me again and we can talk further. But it is that I must leave you now. Oh, dear, dear, dear. I thank you for listening, and you be kind to each other.
Let me be a little kinder, let me be a little blinder to the faults of those about me.